Yes, this is the editor of the American Weekly. Oh, you'd like to know the inside story on the famous Venus and Furs. Well, lady, you've called the right place. Yes? Yes, we're running a series on that fabulous woman in the American Weekly starting next Sunday. And we're dramatizing a few choice moments in her life in today's front page drama. Now, what would you think of owning a mansion with 20 bathrooms and never taking a bath? And what would you think of a person who wore diamond rings inches deep on her fingers and lived on canned beans, which she bought in wholesale lots to save a few pennies? And what would you think of a woman who swathed herself from head to feet in luxurious furs and wiped her hands after eating on the tablecloth? Well, that's the Venus and Furs which we are using for our front page drama today. Have you read your American Weekly lately? The magazine that comes with your Hearst Sunday newspaper? Well, if you haven't, you have a pleasant surprise awaiting you in the shape of some mighty interest in reading. Besides the amusing and amazing Venus and Furs, of whom you will all get a preview today, next week's American Weekly will contain a wealth of entertaining features and articles and factual tales from the realms of science. There's fun and interest packed from the front cover to the back in every issue of the American Weekly, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Well, let's listen to Venus and Furs. If ever there was a wacky dame, that person was the Venus and Furs. If we're to believe her own story, and she gives us much reason to doubt great portions of it. She was once...
Madame, I come from Emperor Franz Josef.
The Emperor?
Ja, Madame.
Why has this honor been visited upon me?
Madame, this is not an honor, and I am not paying you a visit. I have come to tell you that His Imperial Highness requests that you leave his son alone.
What? No. Never. Never.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, madame. The Emperor says you will kindly do this or leave the country. Or end.
Well, of course, we took a little liberty with the things that they said and the way they said them, but essentially that was the gist of Emily's story when she first landed on our friendly shores at the age of 17 back in 1887. If we're to believe her diary. And who knows? Maybe she wasn't the colossal liar that people believed her to be. After all, she did have a beautiful collection of expensive furs, if little else, when she arrived here. Well, it didn't take the charming and exotic foreigner with her lovely Viennese accent long to find a husband. And it didn't take her first husband long to discover the charming kitten...
Oh, wait, get!
I hate you! Hate you! Hate you!
Mute you and mute you and mute you!
Well, I want a divorce, and I want money.
First half of that? Yes. Second half? No.
You brute! I hate you!
Oh, what's the matter, my little princess? That's an even split, is it not?
Oh!
Yes, she was a vixen, all right. She bounced right out of that marriage and went south to sunny Florida, notwithstanding the fact that her furs were still in good condition. And there she met her third husband. No, we're not getting ahead of ourselves. She met her third husband before she met her second. However, husband number three wasn't going to be so easy to land. He was playing cautious, and Emily had a rival. Finally, she couldn't stay in Florida any longer and came back to New York. The climate, she said. And actually, she was broke. She went to Chicago, and there she met husband number two. He was bowled over.
Oh, I think you're wonderful, Emily. I love you. Marry me.
Of course I'll marry you.
When? When will it be?
What's the matter with now?
Oh, my darling, you're so wonderful.
Well, they always went head over heels for her at first. But later...
Now, Emily, please don't read my mail over my shoulder. At least wait till I've decently left for the office to go through my things.
Well, what are you going to do about that letter?
Not that it's any business of yours, my little nosy wife, but...
That's a lot of money he asks for.
Yes, my pet.
Are you going to give it to him?
Yes, my sweet.
I say you're not. You're not. You're not.
Now, who was it who said women should be struck regularly like a gong?
And that was the end of marriage number two. However, fortunately for our Emily, her second matrimonial adventure was a great deal more profitable for her than the first. As soon as the ink was dry on a decree, she headed straight for Florida with her new collection of expensive furs and a hard, hunting look in her eye. Husband number three, who almost became number two, but was, fortunately for him, a little slow to make up his mind about Emily, had just become a widower. And he was in deep mourning aboard his yacht in Florida, with strict orders that nobody should intrude on his solitude. And do you think that stopped our Emily? No, you were right.
Bill, wake up. Get up. All your mourning will not bring her back.
Huh? What?
It's me, Bill. Emily, the woman you really love.
Are you kidding? What are you doing aboard my yacht? I don't want to see anybody.
Not even me, Bill?
Say, Emily, why did you run away from me?
I don't know, Bill. I didn't realize how much you meant to me till I was away from you.
Really, Emily?
When I used to think of the long intellectual discussions we used to have.
Who had?
We had, you and I. Surely you remember.
Emily, are you sure you haven't got me mixed up with one of your former husbands?
Eh? Maybe. What did we used to talk about?
About me.
Oh.
Yes, all the time about me. You always took such an interest in my business, my holdings, my bank account.
Oh, yes. Very sound. Very sound. Now I remember how much I love you. How very much.
Well, strangely enough, this marriage lasted. Lasted because Bill seemed to take delight in obeying the dictatorial commands of his pretty but slightly mad wife. An average day in the life of Emily and Bill sounded something like this.
Bill!
Yes, my dear?
Where have you been?
Been? Just outside my suite.
Why weren't you in here when I wanted you?
I didn't know you wanted me till 10 o'clock.
What time is it now?
2 minutes of 10, my darling.
You lie. It's 2 minutes after 10.
But I...
Oh, contradicting me, eh?
No, Emily.
Now you've begun to lie to me. Heaven only knows what you do behind my back.
But my...
Shut up.
Yes, dear?
Where's my little Fifi?
Right outside. I've been taking her for a morning stroll. That's why I was probably late.
Now you're blaming poor defenseless little Fifi for your crime.
Crime?
Don't argue with me. You know it always upsets me when you argue before breakfast.
Yes, I know, dear.
Call me Princess, as befits my rank.
What?
Oh, so you don't believe that I have royal blood. You think I lie to you.
I believe you, dear. But don't you think it sounds a bit silly, especially in front of the servants, to call you
Only
princess?
Someone with your minute intelligence would feel that way. I am a princess, and I intend to be addressed properly. Hereafter, the servants will address me as your royal highness.
But
no,
Emily.
But...
Yes, dear?
Princess.
Princess?
Now fetch my breakfast.
Where's Marie?
Marie has been discharged. There wasn't enough for a maid to do. It was a waste of money.
But I have a great deal of money, Emily. There was really plenty for her to do.
No matter. From now on, you will do her work.
What?
You will do her work. You heard me?
But, Emily...
Bring me my breakfast.
But...
Bring me my breakfast.
Yes, Princess.
That was the Venus in furs. A strange combination of idiosyncrasies, astronomical extravagance, and petty stinginess. There's a story told of both these last two facets of a character that is almost unbelievable. And next to furs, Emily always fancied antique furniture and heavy, ornate statues. Learning that the owner of one of the Palm Beach villas had gone broke and was auctioning off its contents, she bought several dray loads of assorted heavy stuff and proceeded to have it put aboard the yacht for shipment to Jacksonville. After spending a small fortune for junk, she was too cheap to pay for its shipment by rail. When the captain of the yacht saw what was happening...
Pardon me, ma'am, but who ordered those men to bring that stuff aboard?
I did. Any objection?
Well, as captain of this yacht, I'm going to order them to remove it.
As owner of this yacht, I will crack your skull if you do.
Ma'am, do you realize that this is a pleasure yacht, not a tramp steamer?
It is anything that I choose to call it.
And I resign as captain.
You don't know it, captain, but you can't resign.
Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, no, you can. Because for the last 3 minutes, you have been discharged.
But Emily found that getting another captain to sail the yacht loaded down with furniture and statues was not going to be an easy task. All the sailors felt the same about that business as their captain. So Emily and Bill lived on the yacht loaded to the gunwales and straining every timber to stay afloat. Then one night...
Bill! Bill, wake up! Wake up!
But I,
Bill, did you hear me?
What? Yes, Princess. What is it?
Is it raining out?
Did you wake me up to ask me that?
Answer my question.
No, dear. Doesn't look like it is.
How can you tell sitting there in bed like a fool? Get up and look out the porthole.
Yes, Princess. Hey, there's water in the cabin. The floor's covered with it. I got my feet wet up to the ankles.
Just as I thought. You neglected to close the porthole, and it has rained in. You dunderhead.
Hey, wait a minute. This can't be rain.
What can it be if not rain, my brilliant husband?
It is. It's seawater.
Seawater?
Yes, we must have sprung a leak. We're sinking rapidly.
Oh, it's all your fault. Your fault, do you hear? Now all my beautiful art treasures will be ruined. All because of your cheap little yacht. I wish that
Dear,
I...
Dear, don't you think it we'd better get off?
Don't interrupt me, you worm.
But darling, darling, we're sinking. If we don't get off this yacht in a hurry, we'll drown.
Drown! And I hate water. Oh!
Emily. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, she's fainted. I'll pay for this, all right. I'll pay for this.
And pay he did in abuse and cash. The yacht was raised from the harbor's muddy bottom and repaired. But do you think that Emily, our Venus and Furs, was satisfied that pleasure yachts weren't freighters? She was not. As soon as the boat was repaired, back came the furniture and heavy, ornate statues. But this time, Emily realized that the little yacht just couldn't take it. So part of her treasures were loaded aboard a barge, which was towed to Jacksonville with several smaller craft tagging along behind the barge. Emily was really pleased with this sight and called it her fleet. Today's front page drama was based on the first of two double page articles called Venus and Furs. Unfortunately, time keeps us from giving you the full story of this amazing woman. However, you may read the rest of Venus and Furs in the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. With Venus and Furs, you'll find many other interesting and provocative articles, such as Science Debunks the Pure Race Myth of the Nazis, and the story of an astounding baby called Started Her as an Amazon Before She Was Born, and Romeo and Juliet But in Reverse, and other fascinating factual features. Remember, you get all these in your next Sunday's American Weekly, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspapers. Well, that's all for now. I'll be with you next week with another front page drama.